hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's a big weekend in African football as teams across the continent continue their quest to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Remember, VOA World Cup fans, these are home and away series between the teams. The winner of each series, determined by goal aggregate, advances to the final round of African qualifying, which will feature 20 teams. Those 20 teams will be divided into five groups of four each, and the team that tops each of the five groups will book a much-coveted ticket to Russia 2018. Some results from Friday, and maybe one of the biggest surprises so far, the Comoros Islands held visiting Ghana to a goalless draw. Our African football guru, David Legg, has been talking this week about the FIFA rankings in his analysis. Well, ponder this, VOA football fans. Ghana is 147 places above the Comoros Islands in the November FIFA rankings. Ghana is 30th. And Comoros is at number 177, so that has to be a big morale booster for the Indian Ocean Island nation. Fans of the Harambee Stars of Kenya had reason to cheer on Friday. The Kenyans beat the visiting Cape Verde Islands 1-0 in Nairobi on a goal by Michael Olunga in the 9th minute. In another 2018 World Cup qualifier, Libya defeated Rwanda by that same 1-0 scoreline. Because of the uncertain security situation in Libya, this match was played in Sousse, Tunisia. Faisal Saleh scored for the Libyans off a penalty shot early in the second half. In Antananarivo Friday, host Madagascar almost, and I stress almost, pulled off a big upset, but the Islanders ended up drawing with Senegal 2-2. Madagascar led 2-0 in the second half, but the Senegalese rallied on goals by Moussa Konaté and Sadio Mane in the 71st and 81st minutes. Meanwhile, Cameroon and South Africa scored big road victories on Friday. In Niamey, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon roared to a 3-0 victory over host Niger. And in Benguela, South Africa defeated host Angola 3-1. My Ugandan colleague Douglas Mpuga had a big smile on his face when he danced into the office this morning. That's because the Cranes of Uganda scored a big 1-0 victory over host Togo Thursday in another World Cup qualifier. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Mark Ouma has more details for us, as well as other football news.
Farouk Mia's 39th-minute strike ensured Uganda pipped their host Togo by a solitary goal in their second-round Africa 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifier in Lome on Thursday. The Democratic Republic of Congo edged Burundi 3-2 in Bujumbura. Guinea pipped hosts Namibia 1-0 in Windhoek. Benin edged Burkina Faso 2-1 in Cotonou. And Morocco outplayed Equatorial Guinea 2-0 in Agadir. In Switzerland, five of the seven candidates were declared eligible to contest the FIFA presidential elections due on the 26th of February next year. FIFA's ad hoc electoral committee disclosed in Zurich on Thursday. They are Jordan's Prince Ali Al Hussein, Bahrain's Sheikh Salman bin Ibrahim Al Khalifa, Frenchman Jerome Champagne, Swiss-born Italian Gianni Infantino, and South African Tokyo Sekwale. Suspended FIFA Vice President Michel Platini and Liberia Football Association President Musa Hassan Bility have the right to appeal their case at the Court of Arbitration in Sports. VOA. Finally, the draws for the 2016 African Nations Championships takes place in Cairo, Egypt on Sunday. Teams who qualified to join hosts Rwanda for the contest are Angola, Cameroon, Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Gabon, Guinea, Ivory Coast, Lesotho, Mali, Morocco, Nigeria, Tunisia, Uganda, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. For Africa.
I'm very excited. Nijabulile.
Hola. Cause this is Africa. Tamina mina. Eh, eh. Waka waka. Eh, eh. Tamina mina. Sakalewa. This time for Africa.
In African athletics, one of our big stories this week was Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge and Ethiopia's Mare Dibaba being named the male and female winners of the Ames Best Marathon Runner Award for 2015. The prizes were handed out at a gala in Athens, Greece. Ames stands for Association of International Marathons and Distance Races. 26-year-old Mare Dibaba won the women's marathon at this year's World Championships in Beijing, China. She also won another marathon in China to begin the year and finished a close second at the Boston Marathon. For his part, 31-year-old Eliud Kipchoge won two major marathons in 2015, the London Marathon in April and the Berlin Marathon in September. In Berlin, Eliud clocked 2 hours and 4 minutes even, a personal best. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kipchoge in Athens after he received his big Ames Award. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Andy's chat with Eliud. Here's Andy.
We are backstage at the Ames Best Marathon Runner of the Year Award 2015, and the man who's won that title, well, the men's title anyway, is Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. Eliud, you talked in your speech, I thought, very interestingly and movingly about the importance of thanking people. You said you wanted to thank people over the 15 years of your international career. We all know about your coach, Patrick Sang, has been so important, but there are lots of others, you feel. I mean, a lot of people have gone into your success, not just this year, but in recent years.
Yes, actually, I want to thank sincerely to all those who have been side by side for me for the last 13 years, especially my coach, management, also the members of the press who have been actually airing my name in a high profile in the whole world, and the organization. Actually, this is a very good and very high trophy for me.
For the 19-odd percent of us who run but have nothing like special talent, I've often wondered, was there a point when you realized you had special ability for running? Or, I mean, a moment of realization that you could be among the best?
Actually, when I was really running like any other kid when I was in school. But after school, then I tried to train, and I was really motivated by one of our runners, who is now my coach, Patrick Sang. And I decided to take this thing as professional and also love for the sport.
When you see others, the ones who aren't as gifted as you, outside the international sphere, can you relate to them when you see people running mass marathons and someone's out on the road for 4 hours? I mean, do you think, why do they do it? Or can you feel that they're their pain?
When I see some people running four hours, 5 hours, 6 hours to finish the marathon, I actually feel the perseverance. I actually feel the patience they have in training. I could feel that pain that they are going through when running for all those eight hours. But all in all, I sum by saying that sport actually is healthy. Above all, it's healthy. And you know, when you are healthy, then you are well.
I'm looking down at the fine Ames trophy you've got here for the Marathon Runner of the Year. You must obviously have quite a few medals at home. Are you somebody who has a room where you put all those medals on display, or do you just stick them in a box somewhere?
No, I have. In my sitting room, I have a place to put all the medals, all the trophies. And also this one I will put in a very important place, because for the last 13 years I have never been awarded and being honored with any trophy. This is my first time. That's why I'm saying sport is really a journey. And today I've realized that journey by being awarded by Hames.
Well, one final question. Maybe there's another medal, perhaps a gold one, next year Rio Olympic Marathon. That would obviously be the ultimate. That's the target for you now?
Yeah, that's it. My target is Rio next year. I really want to hang that gold medal in my neck. That's the only thing. I have now Hames. I have the medals from World Championships, but I don't have a gold from Olympic Games.
Eliud Kipchoge, the Ames Best Marathon Runner male of 2015. Wish you every success for that quest for Olympic marathon gold. Thank you very much, Eliud.
Thank you.
Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
As I mentioned at the top of the show, it's a big weekend in African football as teams across the continent continue their quest to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. For a look at Saturday's qualifiers, here's our African football guru, David Legge.
There, Sonny, you've got the final four first leg fixtures. Ethiopia against Congo-Brazzaville, Tanzania against Algeria, Botswana against Mali, and Chad against Egypt. Let's start with Chad against Egypt. Now, the Chadians will have mixed views about this. On the one hand, they'll be very happy to be in the second round because they were underdogs against Sierra Leone, but won the tie on the away goal rule. But they'll also be a little bit nervous because they recently had a visit from Egypt. And no Chadian will need reminding that the result of that match was 5-1 in favor of the Pharaohs. That, Sonny, was the heaviest competitive home defeat ever suffered by the Chadians. So just like some other teams, no doubt revenge will be on the Chadian menu. Hard to see happening, though. Egypt, aside from have done so well in the Africa Cup of Nations, winners a record 7 times, but they've only qualified twice for the World Cup, once back in 1934 and more recently in 1990. So to put it mildly, they're overdue a visit to a World Cup tournament. And they've been playing well under their new coach, the Argentinian Hector Kepa, and certainly over two legs. They must be too strong for the Chadians. I believe the same applies to Mali. They're away first to Botswana, but over two legs, you would have to fancy the Malians to win that tie. Tanzania against Algeria is interesting in that the Algerians have also been hit by injuries. They've lost two of their best players, Yassine Brahimi of Porto in Portugal and Sofiane Feghouli, who plays for Valencia in Spain. They're two of the strong attacking forces in the Desert Foxes lineup. Now, talking about attacking forces, Tanzania have got two very good players who recently helped TP Mazembe win the CAF Champions League. They're Mbwana Samata, the 23-year-old son of a Tanzanian policeman, and Thomas Ulimwengu, a very potent strike force. They both scored in the first round against Malawi. In Dar es Salaam, Sonny, I believe that the Tanzanians can match the Algerians, but what I doubt is whether they can match them over two legs. Ethiopia against Congo, Brazzaville. Ethiopia did well in the last World Cup. They shocked South Africa and reached the playoff stage before losing twice to Nigeria. But they will still be underdogs against the Congo-Brazzaville side that has improved a lot under the veteran French coach Claude Leroy. They're now a top 10 ranked nation in Africa, are the Red Devils. And if you look at the rankings, there's a clear advantage for the Congolese. They're 62 places higher on the world rankings. So from those Saturday ties, Sonny, looking at them over two legs, I think Congo-Brazzaville, Algeria, Mali, and Egypt will prevail. And then the return matches, Sonny, they will start actually on Saturday as well with a match between Gabon and Mozambique. That's one fixture. There'll be five fixtures on Sunday, and then the majority of 14 matches will be played on Tuesday, November the 17th. And what happens, Sonny, is that the overall winners, that's the goal aggregate winners, there will be 20 of them, and they will go into a draw. They'll be split into five groups of four. Those matches will only start in October 2016. Each country, of course, will play six matches. You'll play your three opponents home and three away. And the five winners of those groups, they are the five teams that will represent Africa at the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
David, in African club football, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to TP Mazembe, a club based in Lubumbashi, Democratic Republic of Congo. They lifted the CAF Champions League trophy for a fifth time. Tell our VOA football fans about that, David.
Well, Sonny, Mazembe, of course, were in the pound seat, so to speak, going into that second leg. They had already won 2-1 in Algeria. So USM Algeria faced a very difficult task of having to score at least twice. If they won 2-0, they would win the match and the tie, and a 2-1 victory would take it to a penalty shootout. But that was quite a challenge to me, to go to Lubumbashi, to be in front of 18,000 Congolese fans packed into the Stade TP Mazembe in Lubumbashi, which is in the south of the country, and score two goals and also contain TP Mazembe at the same time. And it wasn't to be. The first half, Sonny, was eminently forgettable of the return match. Neither goalkeeper really having anything of any serious nature to do. And in fact, with 15 minutes left, the match was still goalless. Then a rather clumsy tackle by an Algerian led to a penalty. Samata sent the Algerian goalkeeper in the wrong direction. It was 1-0, 3-1 on aggregate. And as the phrase goes, Sonny, it was basically done and dusted. But Mazembe weren't quite finished. 4 minutes into stoppage time, a breakaway found two Mazembe players up against the Algerian goalkeeper, Mansouri. And here, I really have to salute Mbwana Samata. Now, he, at this stage, was level on seven goals in the CAF Champions League scorers chart with Babacar from Almarek of Sudan. They were level at the top. So if Samata could score in this situation, he would have gone to eight and finished as the leading scorer in the CAF Champions League. And with the tie over, effectively, I don't think anybody could have blamed him for trying to go around the goalkeeper and scoring. But what Samata did is he drew the goalkeeper off his line and then passed to the unmarked Roger Asale, an Ivorian, and Asale tapped the ball into the net. I have rarely seen, Sonny, such a selfless act from a goal scorer as from Samata. And I give him a high five for that. He didn't put personal glory first. He put his team first, and Asale took the ball away. What Samata would have done to Asale if he had missed, I don't even want to think about, Sonny, but it wasn't to happen. So that was 2-0 to the Ravens, 4-1 on aggregate. A couple of statistics, Sonny. They became only the third team in 52 leg finals of the CAF Champions League to win both home and away. It happened in 1977 with Hafia of Guinea, and it happened again in 2000 with Hearts of Oak of Ghana. And when I went through that statistic, I was actually surprised that more clubs had not won both legs of a final. So well done again to TP Mazembe. It was, as you said, their fifth title. In fact, seven appearances in the finals. They twice finished as runners-up. And also interesting, they won consecutive titles in 67 and 68, consecutive titles in 09 and 10. And now the question arises, of course, can they do it for a third time, which not even the great Al Ahly of Egypt have managed to achieve. The rewards for winning, Sonny, included $1.5 million, and more important for the Congolese, a place in the 2015 FIFA Club World Cup. They will play either the Japanese champions or Auckland City of New Zealand in a quarterfinal. If they win that, they will play River Plate of Argentina in the semifinals. And if they win that, they're most likely to play in the final the one and only, the mighty Barcelona of Spain. And I think Congolese supporters are well aware of the mixed record of Mazembe in previous FIFA Club World Cup competitions. Very disappointing in 2009, they finished sixth out of seven clubs. But in 2010, they became the first African finalists, beating Internacional of Brazil. And in the final, unfortunately, they came up short against Inter Milan of Italy, losing 3-0. So come December, Sonny, we wish Mazembe well in Japan in the FIFA Club World Cup.
In African youth football, David, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Golden Eaglets of Nigeria. They lifted a record-extending fifth FIFA Under-17 World Cup trophy in Chile by beating African rival Mali. How about some details, David?
Great news for Africa. Both Nigeria and Mali won their semifinals, Nigeria beating Mexico 4-2 in a great, great, great game. I had the privilege of watching that entire match. It was the middle of the night here in South Africa, but it was well worth staying up for. Nigeria came from behind in that match to win, and Mali did the same against Belgium. They were trailing, but came back to win 3-1. The final itself, Sonny, we had a penalty saved by the Malian goalkeeper in the first half. It was still goalless at halftime. And then in the space of 4 minutes in the second half, Nigeria scored twice, and that basically wrapped up the game. Mali never gave up fighting, but it was quite obvious to me that once the Nigerians got two goals in front, that they were not going to relinquish their grip on a competition that they've now won twice in a row. They beat the Mexicans in 2013 in the United Arab Emirates. Another interesting statistic, Nigeria won the FIFA Under-17 World Cup five times, and the previous four triumphs all came in Asian countries. So this was by winning in South America, this was the first time they won outside of Asia. And a number of real stars, Sonny, in that Nigerian team, Victor Osimhen, he scored in every one of the seven matches Nigeria played in Chile. Truly amazing feat. He also scored a total of 10 goals, and that's a record for the competition. The previous best was 9. And not surprisingly, because of that, he got the Golden Boot Award. He also finished runner-up in the Golden Ball Award for the best player to another Nigerian, the captain of the side, Kelechi Wakali. So another great achievement there by the Nigerians. And yet another achievement for Africa this time was the Golden Glove for the best goalkeeper. That went to Samuel Diarra of Mali. And the Malians, you have to sympathize with them. They were matching Nigeria almost blow for blow. And then suddenly, Osimhen with the first goal, and then 4 minutes later, a second goal from another Nigerian. And you could see the Malian belief just evaporated. But a great tournament. Unfortunately, the other two African countries, South Africa and Guinea, they didn't make it past the first round. In fact, they only got 1 point each, so they've got some work to do. And what is, I find, Sonny, really interesting is that Nigeria only finished fourth in the African Under-17 Championship. behind Mali, behind South Africa, and behind Guinea. Nigeria lost in the semifinals to South Africa 1-0, and then they also were beaten by Guinea in the third-place playoff. And what happened after that tournament, Emmanuel Amunike, a former African Footballer of the Year and now the coach of the Golden Eaglets, he, in fact, went on a search of the southern regions of Nigeria, and he sent one of his assistants on a mission across the north of the country. They looked for new talent. They brought in a whole lot of new players. And now, suddenly, you've got this interesting situation that a team who were fourth best in Africa are the best in the world. As you said, a big high five to the Golden Eaglets of Nigeria.
David, these youth competitions, not just in Africa, but all over the world, have been plagued in the past by accusations of age cheating. Would you say the competition in Chile was clean in terms of players being the right age?
I'm convinced, Sonny, it was clean. And the reason for that is because of these allegations, and you know, Africa were definitely one of the continents these were directed most strongly at. FIFA have acted. They've brought in an X-ray system where they X-ray the wrists of the players. And FIFA assure us, Sonny, that this is 99.9% accurate. They can tell if a player is overage. I mean, we've had some alarming allegations about the African Under-17 Championship, about players married with several children competing. We've heard of 27-year-olds playing. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? A competition for under-17s and somebody 10 years older is competing. But I believe, Sonny, that has been done away with by this X-ray check. And I looked at the close-ups from Chile of the players, the Africans, the Europeans, South Americans, and I didn't see any what I would call ringers. I didn't see anybody that had a really bushy beard, so to speak, that looked like he was way over the age limit. I'm satisfied, Sonny, but you raise a very interesting point. The problem is at under 20 and under 23 level. Now, under 23 level is, of course, the Olympic Games. All qualifiers in the Olympic Games are restricted to under 23 players. And then in the finals, which next year will be in Brazil, you're allowed three wild cards. That's three players of any age whatsoever. So Argentina, for example, if they want to, they can use Lionel Messi in the final. Now, for those competitions, Sonny, this X-ray system doesn't work. It works at under 17 level, but not at under 20 and under 23 level. So, there's still maybe a few holes to be plugged in those competitions. But there have been an increase, Sonny, in the suspensions of countries from these competitions. I think FIFA, and I certainly think CAF, are very conscious of it. It makes a mockery. I mean, what is the point in trying to develop youth when you've got players in the twilight of their careers masquerading as youth team players? It defeats the whole object of the exercise. But as far as the under-17s in Chile, Sonny, I'm giving it a clean bill of health. And, well done again to the Nigerians and the Malians. The issue now is where to, because so often people say to me, but how come, you know, the Africans are not doing it at senior level. Like Nigeria, for example, now five times under-17 champions. And I think one of the issues, Sonny, is continuity. I mean, they now, these Nigerians and Malians, they must become the under-20 teams and then the under-23 teams. Keep these boys together. I mean, there are some real jewels in this Nigerian side. Osimhen, for example, I mean, seven matches at a tournament, and he scored in every one, and he scored a hat-trick in the game against Australia in the round of 16. So there's a name, Sonny. We're going to have to keep a very close eye on the sunny side of sport. Victor Osimhen.
Victor Osimhen, definitely a young player to watch, David. Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chong. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.